White. Granville, New South Wales, Australia, January 10, 1895. Dear son Willie, I sent you a letter, mailed Tuesday evening. It may surprise you, but I could not do otherwise. One thing in the letter I have thought over considerably, the statement that I could not cross the ocean again. That need not have been said, for I know not what may be the will of God in the matter. If it should be necessary for me to cross the ocean, I will do so, and bear my testimony in court if called to do so. But that concession written out, I will not perjure myself to sign, and I will trust the whole matter with God, refusing to put my pen to say such statements. I think the devil would be pleased to entrap me, to tie my hands from any future action, and leave this wicked emissary of Satan to triumph over me, that he has put the straitjacket on me. I shall now make a decided effort to dispose of my property at Battle Creek, and may the Lord help me in this matter, is my prayer. I shall do my uttermost to secure everything I can of value on my property, and then I have done my duty and will have faith in God. I want you to work to this end. As to your feeling scruples in regard to doing this work, you need not, for I know it is right, and shall urge you to do this as soon as possible. Let your letters go out in this next mail. I have been able to sleep but a few hours in the night season. Yesterday I dared not attempt to write. I did not sleep until 11 o'clock, and awoke at 1 o'clock in the morning. So you can see I have not been as well as usual. I am hoping to do better work in sleeping than I have done. Yesterday, Emily and I went to Kellyville. Weather was cool and windy. We gave May the choice to go with us, or to unite with Maud and make her dress. She chose to abide at home and make the dress. Soon after we left, which was 11 o'clock, brother and sister Shao and two nieces came to visit us and took dinner with them. This, of course, was unexpected and hindered their plans some, but they were first-rate ones for them to become acquainted with. Fanny entertained them until dinner time. Then Marion and all the rest had a pleasant, cheerful visit. We took brother and sister James a division of our storeroom supplies in beans, peas, the material we use for our porridge in the morning, two papers, and several parcels of things for which she was very glad. He was away in Sydney to obtain particulars in regard to carrying on a farm he had learned of in Richmond. When we returned home, we found that Brother Shawi wanted a good, trusty man to work his land, and Brother James was recommended. He was sorry he could not go upon the school land. He has tried every way he could to get employment and has lived in the most spare manner. His brother has supplied his positive necessity in goods from his little store to be paid for when he shall get work. I think these precious souls would be a great blessing on the school land. They are a worthy, God-fearing couple. But if Brother Shao can employ them, they had better accept the chance and delay no longer waiting for something to do on the school land. The time has come when they must do something. Mr. Stromger has been very kind to them and has helped them in many ways. His sisters are keeping the Sabbath in a quiet way since the tent was in Kellyville, but their father is so much opposed that they do not take a public stand. Mrs. Stromger says Friday they do up their work all they can and then keep the Sabbath the best they can. Mr. Stromger would have kept the Sabbath, but he was told his father would do nothing for him, but would cut him off without a cent if he did. And he had not faith to venture. We went to Firth's. He was just ready to drive away, or go to work with his horse, but he came into the house and treated us kindly. We chatted together in regard to fruit, and then I prayed with them, and the Spirit of the Lord came into our midst, and we were confident it was right for us to visit them. We then started home, our fruit boxes empty, no fruit in season in that direction. We rode about 7 miles when a gentleman from a nice farmhouse came to the gate, opened it, and was approaching us. Emily asked, "Do you wish to speak with us?" He said he was wanting to go to Parramatta, and a lady was desirous to go. We told him if they could ride into town on the fruit boxes, we would be glad to accommodate them. They would be glad to ride in any way. We placed the extra cushion at my back on the boxes, and they thus seated themselves and rode into town with us. We found the man was a schoolteacher, about 50 years old. The woman had been visiting with his mother, and we had a very pleasant acquaintance.
We left them in Parramatta and drove on homeward when we saw 2 children, girls about 12 years old, fighting like a couple of dogs. I told Emily to get out and separate them. The largest girl acted like a pugilist. She laid hold of the slighter girl, kicked her limbs from beneath her, and set her down rather solidly on the sidewalk, then commenced fighting her, striking her in the face. Emily found all this demonstration of satanic fury was over a tiny rubber ball, which the older girl claimed. She held it fast in her hand, and her hand in her pocket. Emily talked to them, and, we hope, made them ashamed. She asked them if they would want her to put them in the wagon and take them to the police station. She had to work and force the girl to open her hand and release the ball, and they promised to stop fighting and go home peaceably. This is our experience yesterday. I thought how many earthly beings had manifested human satanic attributes and involved nations in difficulties and warfare for years. Was the result over fully as little matters as that over which poor little children were quarreling? How many churches have been imperiled over just such little matters as these children were quarreling over? Mountains of guilt have risen higher and higher, and individual character has been developed in hatred, emulation, and murder. Oh, the grace of Christ! How sweet, how beautiful, how mighty in its influence to conquer humanity in contrast to the above objectionable picture. If we only have the mind of Christ, we will be a blessing in the home life, in the church, in the world. We will speak peaceably and kindly. We are all under rule to Christ. The enforcement of scriptural obligation upon our individual life must be recognized by us in our association one with another, and there must be, in all our movements, cooperation of all. Self-denial and self-consecration mean more than words. They mean real virtue in action. The sentiments of 1,000 resolutions in minor things need to be laid on the table, while a few important matters need to be responded to in earnest action. More must be done, and can be done, if self-denial is brought into individual life. The noblest ambition needs to be developed, the true spirit of Christ revealed in his followers. Self and self-will must be put into subjection to Jesus Christ, and more become workers together with God. The spirit of missions is the true spirit of the gospel, to send light, precious light, to all nations, tongues, and people. Self-indulgence does exist still. God help us to study Christ. His life is our example. But I did not once think of writing in this strain. I go with Byron and Sarah and Emily to get goods for May and Maud to make up. We had a very precious season of prayer with the family this morning. The Lord came graciously nigh to us. We found a package left here, which I think you meant to take to Melbourne. What had we better do with it? We are praying for you. In much love, Mother.